Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jerry. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guy, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter producer for Decider.com. And this week I am joined by returning guest Lizzie Bryce and newcomer Marshall Fanchella. Lizzie and Marshall!
Hi! Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming back. Thanks for coming out to the new Must Have Seen TV studios in Jamaica, Queens. Whoa!
Whoa.
I have a light-up sign that I bought at Target, and you can put whatever you want in it.
It was impressive in the room.
Yeah. It's very, very impressive. People.
Very fall wedding.
Yeah. it's very like Pinterest hipster Target chic. It's
just like, I'm not gonna lie, we have one of those in our house as well.
Yeah. Did you use it as part of your wedding?
We did.
See? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this week we are gonna be traveling to January 29th, 1999. She's All That ruled the box office. Baby One More Time by Britney Spears topped the charts.
And
ABC aired the Sabrina the Teenage Witch episode, Mrs. Kraft. Lizzie and Marshall, you must have seen Mrs. Kraft before today.
I certainly did.
I did as well.
Wait, so did y'all watch Sabrina when it aired?
I did.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really... I don't know if you want me to go into it.
Go. Sabrina, like, this is the our history with Sabrina the Teenage Witch section, so... Don't do it now. When can you?
Okay. Well, I'll launch in. Sabrina was very formative for me. As I mentioned before, growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch Friends because my mom thought it was much too salacious.
Yeah.
And that all those friends were having sex with each other wasn't suitable television. So I was like Disney shows, like Boy Meets World, Sister Sister, really important to me. And then Sabrina was like the behemoth thing, sitcom I had access to, and I was in love with Harvey, as you do, hottie of the 90s, and my best friend, Tasha, and I, every time a new episode was on, we would sit on the phone the whole time, nobody could say a word, if it was not a commercial and you said a word, I hung up on you, okay, but during the commercials, we would, like, scream, and then, even if you were in the middle of a sentence, you had to stop. Because the show was back on.
Were you talking about the episode?
Yes, so fully.
So in theory, this episode we watched tonight, you've already had a discussion.
I had a discussion in 1999, I'm sure, that I don't remember.
Oh my, like literally 20 years ago. Oh my God.
I know. I can tell you that discussion was probably just like, ooh, Harvey.
Harvey's not in this episode hardly at all.
He's barely in this. He has his beautiful hair, which is now sadly gone RIP, was a big topic of interest. And it was just really, it was about a town right outside of Boston. I grew up outside of Boston.
Okay.
Sabrina was like a blonde girl going to high school, and I was like, one day I'll go to high school and I'm a blonde. Like, for some reason it really, really resonated with me. So I have like a lot of feelings.
Oh man.
I'm so grateful to you. When I said Sabrina and you said yes, like I screamed.
Oh
so
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got on the phone.
And then I said, I'm going to call you, but don't say a word.
Marshall, is your story similar with Sabrina?
So most of Sabrina was airing when I was in high school.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm actually a little old for it, and I just have no excuse, but I was just kind of lonely, and it like hit my sweet spot. I also have a real big crush on Caroline Ray, which Lizzie is not.
Oh no, I'm super down for Caroline Ray.
I feel like I've told you and you've been sad about it. I think the idea of 13-year-old me having crush on like 38-year-old
that is
sweater vest. Because in theory, you should have been crushing on Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah, and I never was.
Yeah,
I
probably was.
hot take, I'm usually not a Sabrina fan of Sabrina Spellman.
The character, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's a lot of, like, really talented people kind of orbiting the teeny...
I'm going to say, so, are we now revealing that all three of us have very formative crushes on people in this episode of television?
Fully. Yeah, if anyone says Melissa Joan Hart isn't talented, I'm going to lose it.
Get ready.
Perfect.
Yeah, I was. So this is 20 years ago. In January 99. I was a freshman in high school, so I was fully into Friends. Mm-hmm. Like, this is season 5 of Friends, and so I've been watching that show for 5 years. But similarly, my parents didn't let me watch Friends in season 1 because of lesbians. Yeah. And my sister had to tell my parents that the lesbians weren't in every episode.
You can watch the ones.
And then Friends became our show that we would watch every week. So, I fell out of... This is definitely, like, past my TGIF phase. Because, like, my TGIF phase was, like, 91 to 96?
Yeah.
Because I have some data about that, too.
This is, like, the last gasp of TGIF.
So, this was the highest rated TGIF show, and it was so highly rated that it made Everyone Loves Raymond move nights. They had to move from Friday to Wednesday. This was the biggest show, and even so, Viacom let it go because they were asking for $1.3 to $1.5 million an episode by the time it switched to the CW.
This is around the time that, like, TGIF lost both Family Matters and Step by Step, like, the year earlier to CBS because of a weird, like, chicken game that no one played well.
Yeah, I mean, this wound up being, like, the crown jewel at that time.
But also, just, can you imagine Peter Boyle in 1999 being told that his sitcom, Everybody Loves Raymond, is losing to, like, a teenage witch
like, sitcom?
Listen, that's why Roberts, I love it.
Yeah. Doris Roberts and Peter Boyle, like, we've seen it all.
Yeah.
We've been through.
Oh, they're doing witches again.
I mean, zombie witch.
Like, hey, girl, hey, I don't mean to be that person, but also, like, female showrunner, female creator, female lead star, all female characters. Like, this shit's my jam. Like, this was made for Lizzie exclusively. So, a lot of feelings.
Parts of it are made for everyone.
Yeah, parts of it for everyone else. Most of it for me. I mean, our cat's name is Zelda, named after the worst of two aunts. But better cat name than Hilda.
Wait, I mean, we can dive in. Have you all seen the Netflix version?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I'm sorry.
It's also totally different.
It's totally different. This is so important to me that, like, I appreciate the Netflix version, but it's just not sitcom, obviously.
No. I would love to see that cast doing a sitcom version of that show because it's also a funny cast. Basically Lucy Davis, and I'm like, so great. Okay. And I'm so glad that she's just doing something on television again. I think she's been working in England, but to see her, So this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Sabrina the Teenage Witch episode, Mrs. Kraft. It is the 14th episode of season 3. It was written by Miriam Trogdon and directed by Gary Halverson. Here's how Hulu describes the episode. Mr. Kraft's ex-wife returns to win him back, but Zelda isn't going to let him go without a fight. Marshall and Lizzie, how accurate is that description?
It doesn't mention Jerry Springer at all.
Yeah.
It also lets Sabrina... off the hook.
Yeah. It says that, like she, it sounds like she just comes back on her own and is like, I'm back and you're gonna be in trouble. And it's like, no, she's in the Republic of Infinite Horror and they conjure her back to, like, that's some deep shit.
Yeah. 20 years later, we all live in the Republic of Infinite Horror.
God,
it's just Trump's America.
Yeah.
Don't send me back.
Also, this synopsis doesn't mention that she's a witch. Just his ex-wife.
Yeah. Also, her hair is so good.
So the ex-wife is played by Julia Duffy, who is... When you were like, I want to do Sabrina, and I was like, well, we have to do a Martin Mull episode because he's one of my top 10, like, hottest men of all time. I love Martin Mull deeply.
Should I just raise my hand when I have, like, a weird fact to share?
Oh, please.
Okay, I'm raising my hand. Martin Mull only did this show because his daughter was obsessed with it, and he was like... She was, like, 10, and he was like, when she's 13, she's going to hate me. And if she knows I'm on Sabrina, it'll help her not hate me for a little longer. So he agreed to do it. But he had no interest in the show other than
his
daughter.
Great. Well, because he wasn't on season 1. He came on.
So there's Mr. Poole in season 1, played by Paul Feig. Becomes a big shit, leaves the show. Martin Mull comes on season 2.
Yeah, and then he leaves when they jump to the WB, probably because they couldn't afford him. Or
his daughter turned 13 and hated him
anyway. Yeah, you're done. And then the ex-wife is played by Julia Duffy, who I fucking love. She's from Newhart. Like, she'd already done 9-8 seasons of Newhart at this point. Well, not 8, because she came in later. It's a whole thing. But she's so great on that show. And to see her on this, like, playing basically, like, the witch version of Stephanie.
Yeah.
And, like, she's, like, equally, like, just, like, sweetly mean. Like, sinister sweetness. I love her so much.
Yeah, she has that really trendy white-gray hair right now.
Yeah.
It's 20 years before its time.
And she was just on The Cool Kids a couple weeks ago, and she's still great. Guys, I also love The Cool Kids because Martin Mull's on that! Jesus Christ. So the episode opens with... So let's talk about the entire Harvey plot, because I think that it takes up maybe 90 seconds of the entire episode.
It's a great, like, I don't know, Q plot or whatever.
And honestly, it feels like the Harvey plot exists from when they have to cut away from the main Sabrina plot, but they just cut to the Salem one. And they need to have that third one just to spice it up a little bit.
I also think that, like, people like me would not watch the show if there was no Harvey at all.
Yeah, it's like the minimum trace amounts of Harvey for, like, the teenage fan base.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. And also Valerie, who, one of my favorite characters, one of those characters who I think just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina goes to college and then Valerie never comes back.
Well, Valerie was in Bringing It On.
Mm-hmm.
She's Big Red.
Oh.
I think she probably thought she was going to be
a movie star.
Because
that's around, that's like 2000,
yeah.
isn't it? Yeah, so that's around this time.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, because then the fourth season. Also, Harvey leaves for a season.
He comes back, though.
Yeah, and then he comes. I've looked at the Wikipedia graph, like the graph they do of the cast. Mm-hmm. I've looked at that many a time.
Is this a bad time to bring up Harvey versus Josh? Are you familiar with Josh?
No, wait, is Josh who comes in
so
later?
In college, she like works at a coffee shop and Josh manages it. Oh, my God.
Oh, played by the guy from Hey Dude.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, this is like a big, in the Sabrina fandom.
I've seen all of the, so in my holiday sitcom watchings, I've seen probably all of the Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Halloween episodes.
So if you watch the Halloween episode where she like closes up the shop.
Right, right. That's a good one. This is where all the zombies attack, right?
I think that might even be where she meets Josh, but he's a big love interest.
So the episode opens up with Sabrina and Harvey like drinking Slurpees and they've just like having brain freeze.
There's no jokes in this scene.
They do this weird thing where they use off-brand language for Slurpees. They call them, like, polar freezes, but then they're holding real 7-Eleven Slurpee cups.
And then later they say Metamucil.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a problem.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, sometimes they probably got paid, sometimes they probably didn't.
Yeah.
But it's weird that they have the prop.
Yeah, big Slurpee is not going to, like, get their product name on there.
Yeah.
But when they get back to the front porch, that's when they see that Mr. Kraft is in the house because he's now dating Hilda.
Zelda.
He's dating
he
Zelda.
Is a date
so
Hilda.
Yeah, what is when did I was not aware of like ongoing subplots in Sabrina.
There were.
They had those in Friends, but I did not know that there was like this arc of Mr. Kraft apparently dating all the Spellman women.
Yeah, not Sabrina, thank the Lord. But yeah, there are episodes where he's involved with Hilda. I don't totally remember exactly what happened.
Like, yeah, like, that's a weird thing. Also, does he stay with Zelda for a while after this?
I think so. Here's what I know about him. I know that he becomes the principal from the vice principal at a point. Mm-hmm. And I also
he's
know that Kraft, I also know Kraft is short for witchcraft.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Which is why his previous wife is also a witch, and the idea is that he's always been entangled in these witchcraft romances.
That's a great show. Where's the Willard Kraft?
I mean, it sounds like that's your experience with Sabrina. You've just been, like, going through the Kraft.
I've only, basically, like, I'll go through Hulu, and it's like, if he's in the thumbnail, I watch the episode.
You're getting an interesting sampling.
So basically, the whole crux of this episode is they're getting way too close, and Sabrina does not like this crashing of her worlds, and also, inexplicably, doesn't like Mr. Kraft.
Yeah.
Well,
This is where my full-on, like, love of Martin Mull jades the character, because I wrote down in my notes, he is too hot to be written this way. Because, and I understand that Martin Mull is not everyone's cup of tea. I get that. My husband rolls his eyes at this all the time. But I do think that the way that he's dressed, he's dressed so, well-dressed.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a clean-cut, like, nice clothes, even for, like, 1999, like, those are good colors, they fit him well, like, he's not, but he's always, like, clipping his toenails and, like, cleaning out his ears.
Well, here's my question, genuine question, is irrigating your ears a thing? Because I don't think it is.
I've heard of ear candles.
Yeah,
But he's using like a water.
Yeah, he's just like pouring water.
He's pouring water in his ears in a way that feels like Swimmer's ear.
Yeah, like I can't. I could not do that.
Yeah, they do make him very gross, but you're right. He's also serving these like very Martin Mull like preppy styles.
Yeah.
And he seems very put together, and he also seems like a schlub.
Yeah, it's almost like if it's like if Frasier, if you dress like Frasier Crane but acted like Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yeah,
it's like this weird thing. But also, I also do get like he's the principal, and he's kind of sadistic in it. He's very strict.
Yeah, and he also like over the intercom is like we need to bring home toilet paper and bread, which like it's. It's a crazy...
Yeah, bad boundaries.
Yeah, sure. There were... Crazy, so the real issues here were boundaries. Not so much his hygiene. Mm-hmm. Like, they also, like, he leaves Kleenexes in the couch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He also did yoga in a unitard, which I wrote down, where is that footage? So she's freaking... Oh, so let's talk about the opening credits, because this is the season 3 opening credits.
There are so many. Each of them are very dear to me.
Does the theme song doesn't change?
I think it's the same, but I will say when I moved to CW, I think that they get like an electric guitar, even more electric.
This one's pretty electric. Yeah.
There's like more. She's swinging around a light post in Boston because she's in college in Boston. And,
nice.
And it's like, look at her leather jacket. She's old now.
This is her like looking in a mirror. It's not the season with all the bubbles.
Yeah, the bubbles are not my favorite. No. Mirror is always good because you always get a different joke.
Yeah.
I always feel bad in sitcom credits where it's just the star. It's just Sabrina spinning with a bunch of looks, and then they list the other names. It just seems like such an organic opportunity to feature the actual cast of the show.
It's honestly like what I hate most about modern TV shows is now, like, because there's so much ad time, you just do like a 10-second sting, and that's your whole theme song. And I'm like, no, I love like Friends, Family Matters. Like, I know that like it's the too many cooks style thing to make fun of, but it also like it serves a purpose.
Yeah,
it's a good way to get across a character game. Even like the bubbles thing from season like one or from season 2,
mm-hmm.
it's still like you see Martin Mull, and he's like, I'm a principal.
Oh,
like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, so you know, it's good. So then we get a scene in the kitchen area.
I'm really glad I told this found a boyfriend, but couldn't it have been a mammal?
Personally, I'm over it. Oh, sure. I had issues with my sister dating a man who's still hopelessly in love with me. But then I just decided to let it go. I suggest you do the same.
You're right. It's not like he's moving in.
Sabrina like hulks out and like rips off the counter at one point.
Wait, is that a spell or is she just
super strong?
Is she just like, did she ensorcel her arms earlier that day and just forget to, because she doesn't display superhero tendencies other times.
Remind me, does Harvey know she's a witch by this point?
Not right now, because he will find out.
Beginning of the episode, she does a spell so that Mr. Kraft goes away. In a way that there's no way that Harvey would not notice. She's like, goes like zap and the door shuts.
I mean, I want to be clear, there's an episode where Harvey becomes pregnant and he doesn't know she's a witch. He's like, he walks around with like a beach ball under his shirt. He's like, I don't know what's wrong.
So Harvey's also not the brightest.
Oh no, Harvey's supposed to be dumb. And also, here's a fact, I'm raising my hand. In the original, because originally Sabrina was made as a TV movie.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then Melissa Joan Hart's mother cut the movie together into a pitch to go to all 4 networks. And so it was Melissa Joan Hart's mother who really pushed this, but in the TV movie, there's a pilot that never aired that her love interest is someone named Seth, played by Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my god! Yeah. Wow!
I would pay for that footage too.
They should release that.
They really should.
And that's like some prime post 15 pre 2 guys and a girl. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh. I don't know if I like mom editing the show together. That feels very like Tanya Harding to me. Mom like?
I mean, Melissa Joan Hart like says great things about her mom, and is like says her mom doesn't get enough credit for the fact that the show was such a success.
So like that's the other thing. My main reference with Melissa Joan Hart is always going to be Clarissa because I grew up. Yeah. I was a cable kid. I've learned that there's this really harsh, like strict distinction between if you had cable or not growing up.
Yeah.
And I had cable, and so Clarissa was like, I loved Clarissa. I thought it was the coolest show. Also, like, no distinction of it, like, being a, air quote, girl show either.
Yeah.
Because it was just a cool show. And I don't, like, I feel like there is more of that distinction nowadays. I don't know, I have this in my head, like, the early 90s were actually a lot more progressive than we remember.
There are things in this episode that are super progressive.
Yeah. So, so I'm always like, it's good on her for having two different, like, titular characters. Uh-huh. Also, the fact that if Clarissa had gone into the college, or Because they did that Carissa in New York pilot that they aired as like a TV movie, mm-hmm. where they're trying to like, now she's like working at a New York newspaper, and they wanted to like spin it off and keep it going.
I have not seen that, but I'm gonna look it up.
This is like 95, 96. And so if that had gone, like Sabrina might not have happened, because that would have been overlapping right at the right time.
That's
so
crazy.
Roll that dice.
Yeah.
So then we go, I want to talk about the way the hallways scenes are shot on this show.
Yeah.
So two things, the way the hallway scenes are shot and then also the editing. Because I find it's so different than any other sitcom that I've ever seen. So everything else is like a very traditional like three camera multicam show. Then when you go to the hallways, first of all,
they
like
West Wing it.
It's always hard cuts. There's hardly any establishing shots.
Yeah.
And they hit the ground running. It's like they're in the hallway, the camera is moving. It's obviously like a handheld or like steady cam. And it's a walk and talk, and like they're talking as soon as the scene starts, and you're in it. And then like overall, the show is edited so fast that it's also like that's so different from any other TGIF show. It's
very interesting.
I feel
like that's why I liked it too. It's sort of like ahead of its time, and that it moves like a scene takes 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You can have a D plot that's Harvey, and like it just moves really.
Because
really
what fast. Is so what if the Harvey B plot is she's wanting to get prom photos or
no,
something?
No, no, no. It's
what
her birthday. It's her Sabrina's birthday.
Yeah. It happens so quickly.
It happens so quick. And Harvey, okay, this is one of my favorite jokes. Because Harvey's like, well, I don't know what to get. And Valerie's like, you should do photos. And then he's like, how do I get her there? And you're going to probably just play the clip.
Hey, Valerie. I made an appointment at a portrait studio, and I have a perfect way to get Sabrina there and keep it a surprise. I'll tell her war has broken out, and I have to take her to a secret bomb shelter.
Or you could just blindfold her and tell her to surprise.
Okay. So much for the sound effect tapes I've been making.
And I was just like, that would be so good.
Also, like, that. I was like, what a wild trick to play.
If this were 30 Rock and not Sabrina, the tag at the end would just be Harvey being like, it's crumbling. Like, the buildings are falling. Yeah. But, yeah.
There is that kind of, like, feel about how quick it is. It is... Like, it was that I noticed that, like, jumping to the hallway, then it jumping back to the kitchen, and jumping to Salem, like, this, it's a show on the move.
Uh-huh.
So we cut back, we get to see Salem wearing glasses.
Mm. So good.
Which, yeah. Does he wear glasses often?
No.
It happens sometimes. Salem is very important. I learned recently he is the only character other than Sabrina that has a plot in every single episode.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have to confess, Lizzie knows this. This morning when we watched this episode for the first time, I genuinely thought that this plot was that Salem was in love with a dog.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, like, I wrote down, again, weird prostitute storyline. Like, because, yeah. like, the... So
your Salem's, adult jokes. In
so
there.
Salem's storyline is he is basically...
Salem, did we see you playing with a dog?
Absolutely not. Hate him.
Uh-huh. There's a trail of slobber on your back.
It's hair product? All right. He answers to Silky, his owner's a butcher, and I'm letting him bat me around to get meat.
It's time you look into a little thing we call dignity.
It takes three people to move that puppet, by the way.
It's a good puppet for a sitcom in the 90s. That's a good puppet.
Yeah.
And also, like, it works. Also,
imagine that being your job title. Just like Salem's tail.
His great voice. Mm-hmm. He is on an episode of Seinfeld as one of Elaine's boyfriends in, like, an early season. I can't remember what episode it is.
He was, like, a real stand-up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's done a ton. He has his own ESPN talk show, and there's an episode
what,
of...
still?
Yeah.
Or...
It was for a long time, and there's an episode of Sabrina where Salem calls in to the ESPN talk show and is like, his voice is so annoying.
Great. Love this.
Yeah. Very meta.
So, like, that plot line is so weird. They cut, like, later on, he's listening to, like, dog language tapes.
Oh, the Biblioteca joke I really like.
Yeah.
Berlitz is how to speak dog.
I'm improving myself.
Which way to the biblioteca?
I really like that. There are like four jokes. A lot of it is situational humor. Like the four jokes are good.
There's a joke for adults every 10 minutes in Sabrina.
Yeah.
Like just straight up weird esoteric sitcom joke.
Yeah.
I really love it.
I didn't expect that going in watching it. I honestly was expecting, because I'm not as familiar with it, more... well, I mean, Full House in a way.
Yeah.
Like, Full House is straight garbage that I love. Like,
it means Nell Scoville, Frank Conniff.
That is right. It's Pratt Conniff.
Like a bunch of, like, you got like a Letterman pedigree, you got like a Mystery Science pedigree. Like, they were a bunch of people who wanted to do this teenage sitcom, but they wanted to have that, like, Disney, like, 90% for kids, 10% for, like, the adult that has to watch it. And it gets weirder and weirder. Even, like, Martin Mull being such a central presence.
Yeah. That definitely seems like we are comedy guys that grew up liking his kind of, like, avant-garde straight man weirdo banjo music. Like, put him on this.
Yeah.
I also wrote down that Zelda's pants are just so tight.
Oh, God.
Like, they were, like, tight and, like, had, like, a weird iridescent blue.
She wears, like, a zoot suit that's all white that I admire. I actually made a list of clothing items I'd really like to take from the show.
Oh, yes.
One of them is Sabrina's pink jacket that's covered in garbage. Clearly not garbage. Clearly good fashion. Yeah. I would wear that down the street for sure. Yeah, the zoot suit's on that list. Another is all the butterfly clips, which I 100% had.
Yeah.
Which, in one scene, Hilda and Sabrina have the same hairdo, which is kind of psycho. And then, yeah, and Kraft's 1960s outfit. I want that outfit. Yeah.
But also at one point in the montage of Sabrina being miserable, Kraft and Zelda have these, like, Russian gymnast
Yes! Oh my God, I want that so bad. I want that. I want to wear it.
Martin Mull on a neckerchief is gonna make my heart go flutter. I mean, honestly, like, he has such great color. I really, like, it's a good earthy, he's, like, maroons and, like, rich hunter greens, and it's, like, really good.
There are quotes that Caroline Ray hated the costume department, and she, because, like, she wears crazy clothes.
Yeah.
And she was just like, this is crazy. Like, she said, Sabrina is a teenager who dresses like an accountant, and I am always going, she says, like, I'm always going to, like, a royal wedding, which is true.
Yeah. Zelda's body be banging. It's, because how, like, I don't know if this is, like, weird to talk about, but it is, like, it's so astounding that she's, like, just so mature and also sexy at the same time. Like, she's not a... She is the, like, fussier aunt. She's the stricter aunt, but she's also, like...
I mean, she's getting down. The Twister, there was a penetration in that Twister, for sure. Yeah,
I wrote down, like, that Twister shot. Twister.
I actually don't think that's okay for, like, a PG rated show.
Yeah, so this is, like, this. There's a montage set to the song Crush, which I can't remember who sang it, but the...
Yeah.
It's like... It's just a little crush. Not like our fate. Every time we touch.
Also, do we think that was the original song? Because there are a lot of, like, licensing things I've noticed that happen in streaming where I think...
Well, here's my question. How did you... We watched it on Amazon. Where did you...
Hulu.
Okay, so it probably was the song.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, because I can't imagine, like... It would probably be, like, a Muzak version of that, which would be like, oh, that sounds like it, but... Weird prostitute storyline we talked about. Yeah. And then, so the other thing that Willer Kraft does that goes too far is... I think it's like at the end of the montage or whatever, after he makes an unprofessional announcement, he also then, like, says...
That is one special lady. You know, you might want to start thinking about calling me Uncle Willard.
Well, they're always looking for nuns, right?
Just breathe and let it go, Sabrina.
You can call me Uncle Willard too, Hilda.
He must be destroyed!
But I don't get why that's so offensive.
Well, it's just like, it's so presumptuous. Of just like, like, we're gonna get married. I don't know. Maybe things are going that well for them.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think the fact that that's what, like, cracks Hilda, who's, like, found her zen. And then she's just like, that's it. I'm gonna, like, ruin his life and my sister's life.
I don't like honorifics. How dare.
I don't always get Hilda.
Hilda's deal. Watch.
So she reminds me a lot of Phoebe.
I would say that's a good comparison.
If I had to pinpoint her deal, is that she's dark person pretending to be, like, sunshine and happiness. But then sometimes, because it's like a teenage
way too much.
Show,
it is not that deep.
They just, like, have her be bubbly and, like, the counterpoint. So I'm not sure.
I would say your description sounds a lot more like the new Netflix version of Hilda, where she is just sort of, like, quiet and kind and like, sad. But I think that my experience of Caroline Ray is that she's sort of like a child as an adult, and she's less mature than even Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sabrina, like, will wrap her into these antics, such as bringing Lucy back.
Yeah, such as, so, like, basically they start looking up, trying to find any type of dirt on Mr. Kraft to, like, call this off.
Mm-hmm.
They bring up, like, a A weird, like, E! True Hollywood story. What's the real-life story of the dull Mr. Kraft or something?
Yeah.
And they run through, like, his history. And they show him, like, in the 60s as a hippie.
Such a good montage.
And that is a nice callback to the episode of Golden Girls that Martin Mull was on in the late 80s, where he played a hippie shut-in that Dorothy befriends and then tries to convince to come out into the real world. And then on his first trip out in the real world, he's, like, the 100th customer at a grocery store. And they, like, get the balloons and stuff. And he, like, freaks out and goes back. But again, Martin Mull in hippie clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we see Julia Duffy for the first time. This is when I wrote, he is too hot to be written this way.
I think, like, maybe it's because my brain is caught in being 10 watching the show, but I don't get the Martin Mull, like, love fest. Like, he's great.
Oh, no, I'm an outlier here. I think.
You are? Okay.
In terms of, I mean, my taste in doing it general wrong? Is, like, odd, I think.
Okay.
But he's just, like, I mean, that's just, like...
So, like, Harvey, that, like, billowing 90s hair.
Everything.
Were you a Roseanne person at all as a kid?
No, I wasn't allowed to watch Roseanne.
Oh, okay.
But I've watched a bunch of it. I've watched, like, all of it now that I'm an adult. And the fact that he plays one of the most formative gay men, like, gay characters at a time when that was not on television, just also just, like, endears him. I read an article for work where I'm like, here's a picture of Leon and here's a picture of me. I'm like, I have a, like, mustache and the glasses. And I'm like, oh. And also, he's, like, a Republican. I'm not. But he's also, like, an early 90s Republican, which is, like, a now, like, a centrist Democrat in some weird ways. Like, it's gotten so... but, like,
I mean, I think Leon, even for me as a kid in the suburbs in the 90s, because I watched Roseanne as it was happening for the most part.
I mean, that's like 91.
Yeah, it
so
was
early.
So, like, formative and influential.
Martin Mull is great for that reason. And also, I'm a weirdo for finding him so sexy.
I mean, no, do you, but...
I looked it up because I was curious. He was 55 when they shot this. So he was, like, keeping it pretty together.
Oh, he keep it...
Yeah, I think I would not guess that he was 55.
No, yeah, he looks like 42, maybe? 43?
I wish I knew how old Beth Broderick was when she did this.
That is Zelda?
Yeah. I have no idea. Research. I'll share some more facts while you look that up. Okay, I have one. My own facts. So, the show is supposed to take place in a place called Woodbridge, Massachusetts, which is not real, but is supposed to be right outside of Boston, and part of that could be because Nell Scovell is from Newton, but the zip code for this fake town is 01970, which is the actual zip code of Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh!
So they're thinking also that building is real, and currently it is an office, and if you, like, knock on the door, apparently, and you're nice, they will, like, let you look at the house.
Like the house?
Yeah, because it's functioning as offices.
Is the interior similar to the one on the show?
I would doubt it. I think that's a soundstage.
She was 40.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he was still 15 years older than her.
Yeah.
Not in,
but it does, and they look like
a couple. Contemporary.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's also just like a brand of masculinity that Martin Mull represents that I also find inspirational or
totally.
Aspirational. Mm-hmm. Just like, I don't know, like gentle, like smart, weird male comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is not like threatening, but also still very masculine, but not in a bad way.
Oh, yeah.
Got it. Masculinity is a prison that really tries to narrow you down. And then I find people like Bob Newhart that exist within it, but outside of it at the same time.
Yeah.
And I idolize them. This is getting very...
Now let's get... This could be a whole
this
podcast.
This is very getting deep.
Masculinity and
I wrote down the Valerie Harvey plot is weird. And I can't remember why, except for it just being obviously weird.
I like it so much, and I think it's maybe because, like... I love them as characters, and so I'm glad that they're here even for a second.
It's weird because it just cuts to them, and they're kind of like mid-conversation, and then it goes before it's even ended.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very much like we've got to just break up. Like, we need to show that time has passed somehow.
Yeah.
By, like, just giving, and also giving all the teenage girls some, like, Harvey to look at.
Yeah, it also inserts some high school, because so much of what happens here is so bananas, and
yeah,
I feel
this,
like it
I mean,
grounds
they go to, like,
a little in high school.
They go to, like, a realm. They go to, like, a weird realm.
I mean, the other realm is amazing.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts.
So this is where we also meet the wife, Lucy, who was great, and I have, like, why? There's another show where she's a regular. Like, there's another version of Sabrina where, like, Willard and Lucy are, like, the neighbors.
Yeah.
It's like a Boy Meets World situation where your neighbor is, like, the principal or whatever,
yeah.
And, like, Lucy's always there.
Uh-huh.
That's like, I feel like this is her only episode, right?
Oh, she's so good. I don't know for sure, but I think so.
Well, like, to come on a show and have such a clear character and such a clear dynamic with everyone else, and it's like so menacing. It's so great. I love it. So then this is where they go to the realm, because the realm is like, two witches are fighting over a mortal man. This cannot happen. Mm-hmm. That realm is weird because you can... So it's like a wall and a floor that's painted to look like clouds, but you can clearly see where the wall meets the floor.
Can you? It's on green screen.
Is it blinking?
It is blinking.
Oh, I'm going to turn off the light.
I hope there's a ghost here. This is the sign we were
I keep seeing
before.
It like go off and on in the corner of my eye.
I assumed that was green screen, but maybe it's not if you can see where it meets. Or it's like, just a floor in a wall green screen.
Or it could be a green screen, but they didn't, like, paint, like, where it is. It's not there.
These are clearly the lowest budget parts of
It is still great. I was like, I love that. I love that.
They get called to the other realm a lot, and the rules of how they get called don't really make sense. Like, in the beginning, they would get a letter inviting them through the toaster, and the toaster would just pop, and it would have mail in it.
Oh, and this one, they, like, push a button, and, like, a Get Smart style, like, laboratory pops up.
That is how you make potions. It is a computer, and that's why there's that hot modem joke, because everyone was like, we know what a modem is. And it's this like little gadget that opens that has all of these electric like vials and tubes. And
was there like a plot around them getting that?
Not getting it, but they always have it and it comes up a lot. Okay. So yeah, I think it's weird to me that they open it and just like dissolve rather than getting a note through the toaster. But I don't know. I don't write the show.
I have a question, which I guess would be for Lizzie, since you're the resident expert. Yeah.
Boy.
This is sort of my big question with both Sabrinas. Like, one of the few things that, like, I don't quite understand in either the serious, like, Riverdale-type show or this one. Mm-hmm. Are most witches bad? Like, is the world of witches kind of evil and sinister and the Spellmans are, like...
No. I think
the
in the...
part of it?
Yeah, this is a good question. So in the Archie comics, Sabrina grows up to be the most powerful witch of all time. Mm-hmm. And it's very different in the sitcom. I mean, the idea is maybe one day she'll get there, but she's just sort of fumbling around. And I guess she has more humanity because she is half human. But at the same time, like... witches aren't inherently bad. They have a lot of family who they visit from the other realm, and they are witches, and their idea of what's normal, like, oh, like, let's just kill this mortal. Like, to them, that's not a big deal, but they're, like, human beings and real people. I think on the new Netflix show, which I will not pretend to be an expert on at all, despite having watched all of it.
They're definitely...
They're bad.
They're definitely... Yeah, that's one of the shocking things about it. Like, there's, like, human sacrifice and the literal devil.
Yeah, there's the actual devil.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And also, I think Sabrina is supposed to have a little cousin who's played by her real-life sister, who comes on later, and her name in the show is Amanda, and her sister is supposed to be evil, but it's not because she's, like, evil. It's because her understanding of, like, what's okay and what it's okay to do to, like, mortals is different. And it's honestly, like, it's kind of more like a class issue than it is, like, an evil issue. If that's a terrible comparison.
This is what made Elizabeth Warren run for office. She started to think of Massachusetts.
Oh, my God. I would lose my mind if Elizabeth Warren was, like, if I am elected, there will be more Sabrina.
The reason I ask is because when they get like suddenly summoned to the other realm,
the
judge, it feels almost very like Good Placey, where like the world of witches is just kind of like bureaucratic, but it's not like necessarily
it's
good
bureaucratic
or bad.
But there are a lot of like laws about what you can do to, especially to mortals, so the Spellmans are in like a tricky place because it's not normal for a witch to live in the human realm, and so they get called in a lot for like messing too much with it, and like Sabrina does something and the aunts are responsible for her.
It's like every single Friday you guys are doing something. Like, 22 times a year,
it's almost like TGIF.
Well, thank God it's Friday, here they come.
So
the only way to solve any type of romantic dispute if you are in the year 1999 and only 1999 is to go on the Jerry Springer show, which when this happened I knew it was happening because I'd seen that he was credited in this episode, and I'm also writing an article for work about how there was a very brief window when Jerry Springer played Jerry Springer in like a half dozen to a dozen TV episodes.
I was wondering, like, is this some weird synergy? Are they trying to promote
it was just like I was obsessed with Jerry Springer in this year.
Were you?
Yeah, like, everyone was like, oh, this was, like, the year when Jerry Springer overtook Oprah as, like, the most watched talk show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I would, in the summer, it was on, like, at 2 in the afternoon, so I'd watch it every day, like, ironically, because I also loved Talk Soup at the time, John Henson, and loved it. And when I was summer before ninth grade, so in 1998, I made my own Jerry Springer episode. I made my own Talk Soup. This is a movie I made with my VHS camcorder with my cousins when I was in 8th grade, right before 9th grade, where I played John Henson hosting Talk Soup, and then I wrote the talk show clips, including Jerry Springer ones, that we shot in a church. Because we had access to it on a Saturday.
Oh, man.
I was a big Talk Soup person, too. I think we were both, like, the same late 90s cable kids.
Because
you
could, like,
turn
just
on E right after school and just watch it for, like, 6 hours.
So good. And I, and just, like, seeing this, because he was also on, like, X-Files. Austin Powers 2 had a big Jerry Springer scene.
Have you seen Ringmaster when they tried to just make
a
movie? Every like talk show host got a fictionalized movie about themselves.
Yeah. This is so like, the fact that, like, She's All That, Baby Hit Me One More Time, and then also like Jerry Springer, like, this is maybe the most 1999 thing that can ever exist.
It is, yeah. I will say also, like, I wasn't allowed to watch Jerry Springer again.
Well, understandable. A person chopped off his own penis. Yeah, go back and watch Jerry Springer, but it's going to be...
You are not selling it.
No, it's going to be...
I don't think I want to watch that.
I think it is a probably disturbing time capsule of all the worst in America. A lot of Klan stuff on that show.
Oh my God, no way.
Yeah, no, they would bring... Like, the Klan was on at least once a week.
See, I never saw any of this, but I will say it was such a part of the zeitgeist, though.
Oh,
when
God,
they
went
on Jerry Springer, I knew what it was, especially, like, the swearing part where, like, called his bleep.
But we didn't know she was a witch! Oh, everyone can just call... swearing.
I know, but this way it sounds like she did.
So they bring out, so there's like a fight, there's the security guards pull them apart, and then they bring out Mr. Kraft, and there's a part where they like, so we measured the potions in him.
We let him choose. We do have a surprise. You see, we did a potion check on Willard. Okay, now this is what a normal man looks like. As you can see, very few potions.
I mean, it's like two or three potions for the average man.
Yeah, and that's such a weird, funny joke. And so then they measure his potions, and it's just like as much as they found in Elvis when he died or something.
No, she says this is worse than Elvis's autopsy, which is such a like brutal adult 30 Rock joke in the middle of a Sabrina episode.
God.
Imagine like asking your parents when you're 7,
what that means.
Yeah.
Your parents are like, what's an autopsy? Yeah. Why did Elvis have potions in it? It's just like, well, just say no to potions.
Yeah, well, this is a question I have, too, because, like, it feels like Zelda is played a little dumb, because she's a witch, and she's noticing that he's doing these weird, like, twitches and has to constantly drink this tea, and I know it's, like, a matter of the heart, so maybe she's not thinking with her, like, witch brain, but I do find it weird that she's not, like, this is a potion, like, a straight-up potion.
Well, shouldn't they be able to sense, like, potions around, like, a...
I don't know. It's not how witchcraft works, Brett.
Well, also, I'm like, if you're a witch and you know that other witches can detect potions, then you would put a potion to hide the potion, right?
Really Inception related.
But then wouldn't they be able to sense, like, I can sense a potion's being blocked in here, but I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, it just feels like if you're drinking tea every 3 seconds and you act crazy. Also, Zelda's reaction when he's like, can I borrow some coriander? Because I'm making dinner for my ex-wife, who I love again, and she's just like, okay. She doesn't freak out at all. It's just, her reactions
are
weird.
Hilda and Sabrina kind of just be like, no, she's fine.
Yeah.
Well, they're not good people. Whenever I like watch a Sabrina again, she's not like a good kid.
This makes me furious. Like, she's such a good kid.
Is she always a good kid 22 minutes later?
No. I mean, I guess it's just like I thought she was so cool that I'm like,
sure.
What do you mean?
Also, before we get too far away from Jerry Springer, I'll take any chance I can get to remind the world that he was mayor of Cincinnati in the late 70s.
Oh my God.
He was on track to be governor of Ohio, and then he paid a prostitute with a check and had to go on TV and apologize.
What, you shouldn't do that?
Yeah. And so there's an alternate universe where I fully believe like Jerry Springer was like a big player in Democratic politics, and because his like life fell apart, he just chose this completely like devil's bargain.
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah.
So it basically like they all make their cases. Martin Mull, Willard Kraft, he fakes out. He's
Gary,
like,
this woman is still trying to kill me, and this lady laughs at my little jokes, and has the sweetest smile.
Oh.
So, I guess in what you'd have to call a no-brainer, it's Lucy.
Kidding you.
It's Zelda.
No! You change your mind, you spineless slut, because I ain't going back to Helltown.
joke? Like, do people at Jerry Springer fake you out?
No.
No,
that's just a solid joke.
Good joke. This is a good joke.
But there are final thoughts on Jerry Springer, which he alludes to, because he starts to get philosophical, and he's like, save that for the final thought.
Oh, I think the thing we haven't talked enough about is the fact that in this world, Jerry Springer is a witch.
Oh, that's the other thing.
Because
he does the magic thing. He cures him of the potions. And then also, I also love everyone in the audience is a witch or a warlock. Like, they're all wearing cloaks.
Yeah.
But they're like business casual cloaks.
Well, it's like a mix. There are some people in cloaks. There are some people who are just in, like, pantsuits.
Well, I saw a guy in the back who was wearing, like, what looked like a... He looked like a suit, but it was... The top looked like a suit that he buttoned up, but the sides were open, so it was like a cloak.
Mm-hmm.
It was like this interesting... Honestly, it's kind of like our Project Runway challenge. Where it's like, your challenge this week is to take witchcraft, but make it business cash. But
oh my god,
I've
so
watched
good.
12 seasons of Project Runway.
I was going to say, I've
so
been
far
watching
this,
your
so
Instagram.
Far this year. In like 40 days. So he chooses to be with Zelda. I can't... Their names are so similar.
They're too similar.
They're similar.
And I get that's probably canon from the comics that they couldn't touch.
I think it is. Yeah. I also know with Sabrina's name that the author... Someone's going to murder me for not knowing who wrote Archie. But based Sabrina, the name, based on a girl he had gone to middle school with because he thought it sounded very New England. But that girl's name was actually like Sabra, like the hummus. So it's kind of a misnomer, but he was just like, Sabrina, that sounds so New England. Which does it?
I don't think
so. I'm from New England. I'm Elizabeth.
Yeah, I don't think so. Sabrina sounds...
Good name, Sabrina. I don't know.
I mean, that's the test for all New England names. Like, Goody.
Yeah. Well, I also know...
Goody Tanya?
Yeah,
no.
Goody. Yeah. My first name is Goody. No, and I also, in the comments... Hilda and Zelda, their names are those, but they're, like, much more witchy. Like, I think one of them has green skin and, like, wears a big black hat. And
okay.
Also, so, are they sisters?
They're supposed to be, and this for sure.
Okay. Yeah, the new one, very, like, loose accent work with the Spellman's sisters, and then Sabrina's dad is American.
Yeah, because, like, Lucy Davis has an English accent, but
Renato,
new Hilda,
like, doesn't
does
really
not.
Do it.
I mean, this is not the weirdest... Like, do you know about the ball of wax thing with Sabrina's mom, the plot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is
a
spoiler.
Is that from the sitcom?
From the sitcom. Skip 10 seconds if you don't want to be spoiled for the end of Sabrina's sitcom. But there's this whole thing where Sabrina's half witch, and her mom, the mortal, she can never see because there is some kind of law where if a half witch sees their mortal parent, their parent turns into a ball of wax. And so in one of the, like... It's a very bizarre and one of the pivotal emotional moments.
Her parents
moments,
are alive in this continuity, or
I think so. Her mom 100% is. I don't know about her dad. Her dad
wild.
Might just be in the other realm.
Oh god,
trying to remember. But anyway, so in like the end of like one of the big seasons, what happens is Sabrina finds her mom and is like, "You didn't turn into a ball of wax. Like, I've missed you so much." And then 10 seconds later, her mom turns into a ball of wax, and it's heartbreaking. And then what happens is in the new seasons when she goes to college, quote unquote. Zelda is gone, I think, because Beth Broderick was like, I'm done with the show.
Yeah.
But what happens in the plot is that Zelda trades the Witch's Council in the Other Realm, which you saw today, trades that she will become a candle so Sabrina can have her mom back. So in the canon of this show, to this day, Zelda is a candle.
That's very upsetting.
It's so dark, So they definitely do these, like, long arcing plots. It's less common than, say, in a Friends or something like that, where you have, like, romantic relationships, but they do them.
Friends didn't get that weird. They had a monkey for 11 episodes.
There's some crazy stuff in Sabrina. There's I know Melissa Joan Hart's favorite episode is one where she becomes addicted to pancakes because the Spellmans are addicted to breakfast, and it's kind of this weird, like, IHOP, like, cross promotion, and it's supposed to be one of those, like, special episodes of the sitcom about addiction, and she sits in a room just being like, pancakes,
she's not just like, I'm so excited, I'm so scared, but with pancakes.
Yeah, like, that's so weird. Yeah, do cross promotion. Okay, yeah, we'll do cross promotion. They're gonna get addicted to your product.
I mean,
a drug metaphor.
It's a drug episode.
Horrible.
It's actually psycho. Like, as a kid, I was like, yeah, Sabrina's weird, but I like it. And if I think if I watched it as an adult, I would be like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I think that is one of the things I like about Sabrina and liked when I was a teenager is that there are not that many lessons. It's not like a typical teenage geared, like, every boy meets
Hilda and Zelda
with,
don't
like,
sit Sabrina down and be like, you learned this week not
and
to.
And honestly, like, sometimes the voice of that is Salem, and then he just, like, goes off in some weird, like, at the end of this one, he's kind of like, you weren't trying to help. like her. Yeah. Just like, sitting in a pile of meat.
And then like they turn around like, but you just spent the episode manipulating a dog to get you meat, and he's sitting on a pile of meat. Yeah. Well, whatever.
Well, even at the end of this episode, like Zelda's like, when Sabrina gets back, I'm gonna have a talk with her, and then it just like cuts to her. Like, having a black eye.
When she said that, I remember thinking, oh, I don't want to see that talk.
No.
Wisely, they didn't.
Yeah.
They don't.
The episode ends with how we finally get the payoff of Harvey's 90 seconds of plot, where he absconds with Sabrina. She's blindfolded, or Valerie brings her into like this elaborate photo setup, and she has a blindfold on. They sit down. Harvey's wearing a huge double-breasted suit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's also, it's cut to where, like, it's, you only see, like, an inch of his tie. Like, it's, like, a big guy. I just got fitted for a double-breasted suit last weekend, so I'm like, that's not how you do it. I'm a monster. then right before the episode, takes off the mask, the blindfold, and she has a black eye, because of the Jerry Springer Show.
Yeah. It's, like, an impressive black eye, too. It goes down to her, like, lips. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
She got and then stuff. The post-credits, or, like, while the credits are rolling, the stinger is... So Kraft now has amnesia because that's what they just do. They go, like, she mind-wiped all
they
of the, like,
Men in Black machine
stuff.
Where it's, like, you look straight at it. Yeah.
So they're, like, still going back to the school. He's driving her to school still, and he gets pelted with a whole bunch of, vegetables, like he always does.
Yeah, the trash that comes out is so impressive.
Yeah.
That would be 1,000 people. That'd be like the French Revolution if that much fruit came at you.
I had a very similar vice principal in the sense that, like, he was truly hated, like, not a good guy. Also, like, the authoritarian in our middle school.
But also hot?
No, sadly not. but, like, I don't think if we had thrown trash at him, it would have been tolerated.
No!
But there's this
He expects
fun,
it. Like, he warns Sabrina, like, you should have had your window rolled up.
Yeah.
Well, there's, like, this motif of Kraft's life just sort of being this all the time, because when he goes on Springer, they just throw a bunch of paper at him.
Oh, right!
So he's just kind of, like, expected this.
I will say,
abuse.
My middle school vice principal, her name was Mrs. Coffee, and...
that is a Sabrina character.
This is crazy, yeah. And people, the cool kids in the school, started calling her Latte, and they'd be like, yo, Latte.
Oh,
and
God.
It became this big deal, and she was like, my name is Coffee, and you could get detention for calling her Latte.
Yeah.
Which we all did behind her back, but in middle school, it was like, burn! We got her!
You ready for some must-have facts?
Yes!
Baywatch, the early years.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode was watched by 13.4 million people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a decent number.
That's really good. I mean, they had the highest ratings.
Yeah, but, like, so the top five shows of the week, I could not find out where it ranked for the week, because for some reason 1999, it was very hard to find actual weekly ratings. I had to get that number from a Spanish language message board.
Where you were translating it.
Some kind-hearted soul has a thread where they've just posted the weekly ratings of every episode of, like, hundreds of shows.
Amazing.
Cool, thanks, person. I used it. So the top five shows this week were The Simpsons at 5, Friends at 4, Family Guy at 3, which is very weird.
Yeah.
Number 2, the Super Bowl postgame. Number 1, Super Bowl 33. Mm. The ABC Friday Night lineup at this point was at 8 o'clock was Two of a Kind, which was the Mary Kate and Ashley comeback sitcom.
Oh, I watched it.
That only lasted a year.
If what there was like a blonde preteen in it, I watched it.
What was the premise of that? Does anyone know?
Oh my God. I don't know. I can tell you about many of their movies, but I can't tell you the
plot. How the West Was Fun, also starring Martin Mull. Which I have not seen, but I just know that. Oh God, I have a problem.
Besides like Fernwood Tonight, has Martin Mull ever had like a starring vehicle?
There was that. Well, he had a show in, so he had a show. I can never remember what it was called, but it was called like That's Life or something. So it was in like the mid 80s because I watched him. I haven't seen it because it only lasted one season, but I watched him because I will also go on YouTube and look up 80s talk show appearances. Yeah. So I watched an episode of Letterman Late Show, Late Night, that he went on to promote it. And he was talking about, they showed a clip and it was a like, it was kind of like a Too Many Cooks thing in the 80s of like, they were purposely making a family sitcom where he was the dad. But it was like a heightened reality. It was very like meta parody, like really weird. And of course it didn't last long.
Yeah.
I think I found the opening credits. The opening credits is like him driving through a neighborhood and like waving at people while like the milkman like throws a glass of milk at his car, like a newspaper hits him in the face, etc. Like, it's just ridiculous.
The milkman throws milk at his car. That's like an attack.
Yeah. But it's like what you would expect a family sitcom to be, but just like weird. But he's been in a lot of things that just get canceled quickly. He's on The Cool Kids right now, which is really like fun. I like it. It's him, Vicky Lawrence, Leslie Jordan, David Alan Grier.
Cool.
Which is a great cast. Basically, it's just like all these old sitcom people on one show. It's all I care about. So it was Two of a Kind at 8, Boy Meets World at 8:30, which is, this is like the last season of, this is like the end of Boy Meets. They're coming towards the end, I would say.
Probably.
Yeah.
If we could have had a Mr. Feeny, Mr. Craft crossover.
Oh my God.
That's my other formative crush.
Principal world version of the
Witch. I think
Feeny
would hate Craft because Feeny is like such a like touchy feely, like I love you.
If anyone has bad boundaries, it's Mr. Feeny with Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, dudes could just bond over tweed.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Mr. Craft dresses just like Mr. Feeny.
Yeah.
Like, you look at them, it's like they should be the same character. But in this episode, he is a pig. Like, he's like a slob who's just, like, covered in earwax and, like, toenails.
He's moved into the apartment above the garage.
Yeah, which she just, like, makes by pointing at.
Yeah.
Then Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And then another short-lived show called Brother's Keeper. That I did not research.
Does not ring a bell.
I researched to see if I recognized any names on it. I didn't recognize any names on it. It had a very bad title card on the Wikipedia page. The logo was ugly. So like, I'm not going to look into that.
Yeah. If you can't pay a graphic designer, I can't listen.
No. On IMDb, 124 users gave this episode an 8.1. Did you go higher or lower? Is that sound on the money for a Sabrina episode?
IMDb ratings are so confusing to me because it seems like the highest rating you can get for a movie is like a 7.9.
Yeah.
And you go on and like Empire Strikes Back is like 8.1. And then you go on every TV episode and it's like a 9.7.
They're so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I would give this like a solid 8. Like,
yeah.
I've only seen, like, compared to all the Christmas and Halloween and Thanksgiving episodes, I was surprised at how weird, like, very smart jokes peppered throughout that are just like, oh, I can't believe that they just did that.
Yeah, I think an 8 is fair. I would say I will probably, regardless of the episode, always give Sabrina at least like a 6 because it's Sabrina. But yeah, I think 8 is fair. This is like, to be honest, not my favorite episode of all time, but I enjoy it.
Well, it has no Harvey, so you detract from 2 points.
That's the thing, though. Yeah. Or Mr. Poole.
I would be shocked if an episode with these plots was the best episode of any series. Yeah.
I really care about the aunt's love life.
Yeah. This is very much like, guys, we got to make 22 or 24 of these this year. It is literally, it's January.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? This is very much a January episode.
Mm-hmm.
Who had the must-see performance?
I mean, for me, it's Martin. I think he's a delight. not to suck up for the...
I'm going to go with Lucy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Also, because I am only picking women as my musty performances.
Go for it. You mean,
as done before.
She kills it. Where's so her spinoff?
She kills it. She has so much sass. She has an amazing I'm an evil witch outfit. She has amazing hair that's very before its time.
Oh,
the gravity joke, like, it was the only joke that hit really hard for me twice in one day.
fixed.
Oh, look, your hair's down again. I guess everything eventually loses the battle with gravity.
It's like so
Yeah,
brutal.
It's so Yeah, and also I really love the moment. I think it's done really effortlessly where he's talking about like why he's going to pick Zelda, and he's like, you always laugh at my stupid jokes. And she's like, like, I think the way she does that is so charming.
Julia Duffy's the only person I'm like, why isn't she on things more often? Mm-hmm. She was on a season of Designing Women, like, after, like, two of the main ones left.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, I think she might have done some, like, Hallmark Christmas movies. Like, she's just, give her a regular role. She was just on The Cool Kids and was still so funny. Ugh. Yeah, Martin Mull is obviously my must performance. But, like, Julia Duffy's always going to be, like, a 1.5. Like, she's coming in. Higher than number two for me, but lower than number one.
Yeah. I think if she were not in it, I also really like Caroline Ray on like a regular basis in this show.
Must other people see this particular episode of Sabrina? If someone had never seen Sabrina before, this would not be the one you would suggest for them to watch, but would you be fine with them being introduced via this?
I think it's a good entry point for the thing we were talking about where it's like a teenage sitcom with an adult secret, like, Trojan horse sensibility so that you can still enjoy it. I think it's, like, a good, like, they're sharp jokes. Like, the characters are well represented. It's not, like,
you can follow along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would really hard recommend if you've never watched Sabrina. I would definitely recommend the Halloween episode where zombies fill the coffee shop she's working
at. That's a really good one. Yeah.
That one. And then also the episode with Britney Spears. I get that people were like, oh, it's annoying because they sing, like, Drive Me Crazy, and Melissa Joan Hart was in that movie with Adrian Grenier, like, I said the wrong sign. Is it right? Thank
Adrian
you.
Grenier.
Anyway, I'm moving forward with my thought. Called Drive Me Crazy, which I think is a great movie, which Robert Ebert did not think was a good movie, but I did. But yeah, I think either of those are really solid too.
Yeah, I think it's good. It's not like you're not getting into some crazy Moms of Ball of Wax continuity.
I mean, that stuff gets really good. Or, yeah, the pancakes one, I don't know, is a good episode, but it's crazy.
I want to do something I haven't done in a couple weeks because I keep forgetting to do it. Let's pull from the great TV sitcom book. This is a textbook-sized book from 1982 that has a chart of every single sitcom that existed in it. So, just pick a year between 1949 and 1983. And then we'll talk about a short-lived sitcom that otherwise we'll never talk about on this show. So, between 1949 and 1983, pick a year. What are you thinking?
Marshall, you pick it.
1979.
Okay, so do you want to hear about Nobody's Perfect, One in a Million, Semi-Tough, or Working Stiffs?
I am curious if Semi-Tough is an adaptation of the Burt Reynolds Chris Christopherson movie.
Okay. Semi-Tough, this sitcom, borrowed from the movie of the same name, which is borrowed from the book of the same name.
Yeah, the book, obviously. Was
lasted almost less time than it took to write this sentence. It had its premiere on May 29th, 1979, and by the middle of June, it was off the air, all courtesy of ABC. The slapstick story, for those who haven't seen it before, two macho members of the New York Bulls, a team that always loses, Billy Clyde Puckett, Bruce McGill, and Shake Tiller, David Hasselhoff, are roommates who take in a pretty young woman named Barbara Jane Bookman Markey Post, and they live platonically ever after, sort of Three's Company sports style. According to the trade paper The Hollywood Reporter, Semi-Tough isn't even semi-funny, and so far the concept is limited, the characters are limited, the acting is limited, and the prospects for survival are limited. Others in the cast included Hugh Gillen as Big Ed Bookman, Mary Jo Catlett as Big Barb, Jim McCrell as Burt Danby, Ed Peck as Coach Cooper, Bubba Smith as Puddin, and Freeman King as Storytime.
If you had read those names in the opposite order, I would have also believed it. If you just put them like Bud Puddin as Dr. Bing,
it just turned into a weird list sketch at the end there. Yeah, so would you guys have watched Semi-Tough back in the day?
Well, often I'm watching Three's Company and I say, I wish there were sports in this.
I wish there were more sports.
Where are the sports?
A little bit more like German flavored hunk.
Yeah.
Hasselhoff's career went fine. No.
I know.
I think, I grew up as a big Burt Reynolds person vicariously through my dad. But even by Burt Reynolds standards, Semi-Tough is pretty bad.
Is that the plot of Semi-Tough?
Yeah, they're just like bad football players, but also like I think Burt Reynolds and Kris Kristofferson were already in their like mid-40s in the 70s.
Yeah.
So like it's just like weird and they're too old and nothing really happens. So I don't think I would have like wanted to see the sharp 22
the TV show
version of this.
Bro, that aired from May to June. Like, that's a, like,
brutal.
Oof.
And everything got, like, 5 years back then.
So. Yeah. This is, yeah, like, man, if you're not debuting right at, like, the start of the September, just why are you even doing it?
Yeah.
Just forget. It's not going to work.
Crazy. In my head, Semi-Tough is a cartoon about two really macho semi-trucks, and they're just, like, driving down the highway. It's being like, I'll get to Cincinnati faster than you will.
I think that's what Burt Reynolds thought the plot of the movie was. And then he found out it was football players, and he got sad.
Fuck. So. There's also a show called just United States, which...
That's the light. We're actually living that sitcom right now.
Good times. Yeah, so anything y'all want to plug? Any final thoughts? Where can people find y'all on the internet if they want to talk about Sabrina?
Oh my God. If you want to talk about Sabrina, let's get a coffee. I'm very into it. I guess, yeah, we plug ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, whatever you want.
What's up? My name is Lizzie Bryce. I am a director, writer, producer of comedy, and actually right now I'm working on a horror, so that's new and exciting. Based on the realm of infinite horror. No. but now I want to do that. The Republic. I'm sorry. They have a Senate.
Yeah. Bicameral infinite
horror.
Yes.
I mean, so is ours, so.
Okay. Anyway. this is my plug. No. yeah, so anyway, LizzieBryce.com, or I have a production company with fellow comedian Matt Fisher called
Yes.
Carbonated Films. We make everything from like branded content to we're right now working on a show called Your Hair Looks Great Today with Claire Ayoub, and it's really fun. Season 2 is coming out this spring, and yeah, I produced directed it with Claire and Matt, so
Nice.
Keep an eye out for that. And yeah, just thank you for listening to my my voice. I'm trying to be as sultry as I can.
Yeah.
I'm Marshall Finch. In case there was just like a weird dynamic you weren't sure of this whole time, Lizzie and I are married.
Oh yeah.
That's my big achievement.
The tension.
There was a joke about our wedding at some point.
Yeah, I'm a stand-up and a writer and a wannabe actor. Is Marshall okay? Is my handle on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Lizzie Bryce. I forgot about social media as a
whole
thing.
Quit Twitter for 2019 as self-care, but I'll still be there to receive your DMs and I work.
Yeah.
I host an open mic every Thursday at the Alligator Lounge in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Everyone knows where Williamsburg is.
Yeah, where is Williamsburg?
Yeah, in Colonial Williamsburg. Yeah, outside Jamestown.
And ye old Alligator Lounge.
And yeah, that's mostly my thing, as hosts say when they don't really know you on shows.
What's your website?
Marshall Finch Comedy. It's my website.
.com,
oh, sure.
Dot pizza.
And yeah, you can see me doing shows all over the city, as they say.
Is dot spell a domain name?
Oh, like dot Spellman? I'm changing my website to Lizzie Bryce.
Yeah.
Dot Spellman.
Yeah,
it's probably like the Slovenian internet.
yeah, I guess as a last quick thing, there is a Turkish version of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which
I've
never
watched.
They made a version of it in Turkey.
And that does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guests, Lizzie Bryce and Marshall Finch, for dropping by and talking about Sabrina the Teenage Witch with me. Next time, I'll be discussing the Married with Children episode, The Proposition. The Proposition is in Season 7, Episode 26, and you can stream Married with Children on Hulu. Until then, I want to hear from all of y'all. Tweet to Must Have Seen TV and also follow the podcast there and on Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at Must Have Seen TV. If you like what you've heard, rate and review the show in Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. The theme song is Apollo Throwdown by The Go Team. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to all y'all for listening, and I'll see you next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays.
Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.